San Diego. I'll be at the Grand Comedy Club Friday, October 3rd. Get your tickets now on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Starting this episode like we start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for anything you do to support anything I do. I don't care what it is, live shows, merch, whatever. I love that you support this show and this podcast. And if you got to have more, you got to have our Patreon. It's called the Honeydew with Y'all, and it is this podcast with y'all, and I promise y'all have the craziest stories you'll ever hear. It's $5 a month, all right? That's it. It's been that for years. You get hundreds of episodes for a cup of coffee, all right? And if you or someone you know has a story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to do an episode with you, all right? That's the biz. You guys know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights, and I always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I am very excited to have this guest here. First time on the Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen, Kim Whitley. Welcome to the Honeydew, Kim
Whitley. I was like this. I was hiding because I was like, wait, I didn't get to check my face. Wait, let me check my
gorgeous
face. What? Thank you, Ryan. Look at that. I made sure I was cute for the camera.
You're super cute for the camera.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. It's an honor to have you here, honestly. And before we get into whatever we're going to talk about today, please promote right there anything you would like.
I would like to promote that I am so glad I met Ryan, first of all. That is the highlight of my day. Secondly, I have a movie out on Netflix called Happy Gilmore 2. Make sure you check that out. And I have a movie out on Prime called Killing Mary Sue, which is action and crazy. It's very funny, too. And then I have a podcast with Sherry Shepherd called Two Funny Mamas. Please go subscribe. Look, I want to keep going down the list. And I have, let's see, what else? I have dates in Washington at the Washington Comedy Theater. And then I think I'm going to go down. I got Cleveland. I got Arlington. So just dates coming up and doing things.
Where are you on socials?
Social media across the board. That's what I should have said. You can catch me, KYM, Kim, and then Whitley, WHITLEY. And that is Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all those things.
You still have a passion for going out live, huh?
Well, hold up, Ryan. You're talking two different things. There is that Sherry Shepherd has a passion. I know people, David Arnold had a passion.
Rest in peace, David Arnold.
My boy. Yes. I Sherry's like, stop saying that, Kim. I said, I do stand up. She likes to do stand up. I said, you like stand up. You love stand up. Caroline Ray loves stand up. Mm-hmm. I like stand up. The thing is, everyone talks about me. I complain in the dressing room until I hit the stage. Once I hit the stage, it is on and cracking. Like I did a residency at Jimmy Kimmel in Vegas, which I'm going to do again January and February. One of the best shows, so much fun because there's people from all over the world. Tourists come in and you just get to have fun for 45 minutes of foolishness. And so I enjoy the people. Am I tired of hearing myself on the same comedy? I got to change my act. That's my biggest problem. But I like people. I love hosting. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love a host gig. If you got an organization, you want me to host it, I love it. At first, I was like, oh my God, these big audiences and afraid. But your audiences grow as you grow. Mm-hmm. And now I get in front of a big audience. I'm like, it's the same jokes. It's the same thing. It's people. And I really have a good time.
And we've been doing it a minute, too. Good for you. I was telling you when we met outside, like, you're on my TV. My daughter found, are you at Parkers? The Parkers? You're on the Parkers?
Yep.
That's the one I was thinking.
Flirty Gertie.
That's the one I was thinking. She watches that. She watches all of these old shows, and you're there. But one of the craziest, and we'll get into this, I just do have to say this.
Wait, first, is your daughter black?
No.
Okay, I just felt she's you had not. A black daughter.
You know what? Her brother's mixed, though. I always thought I'd have a mixed child.
No.
I didn't think it would be somebody else's.
I thought you was light-skinned. Be honest with you. I'm just trying to, I don't know what, are you white?
I'm Italian.
You're Italian. Yeah, okay, same nice thing. You light-skinned.
I'll take it.
It's the boys. You got a little swag.
Thank you. Your role on Curb Your Enthusiasm, bless you.
Thank you.
The prostitute who Larry David ends up picking up just to take a person in the carpool lane to go to the game.
Yes.
And if you don't know this story, it's crazy. We won't talk too long about it because I definitely want to dive in with you. But your episode saved this man's life.
Yes.
Like this man, there was a man who went, there's maybe a 40 minute, I can't remember the name of it, documentary on Netflix.
Long Shot.
Watch Long Shot. And this poor man bought his mother tickets on Mother's Day for the game, knowing she would say, I don't want to go, so he could go. He bought her a present knowing I'll go. Took his daughter, I think a couple buddies. And then after the game, he's convicted of a murder deep in the valley.
His girlfriend.
Yeah, that's right. His girlfriend. He's paying cash for everything. So there's no credit card trace. There's no nothing. One weird ping off a cell phone tower to call and say he's going to be later or whatever. Because that night, I believe Gagne, the guy that was the closer, had this incredible record. And it got broken that night. So they went to extra innings. So the game goes longer. All the weird things are happening. That man goes to prison for murder because witnesses also said, no, we saw him do it. We saw that man do it. And he's like, I'm at the game.
ESPN, and his daughter testified and said he was at the game.
He had just taken her out to get, something from the snack stand. They're coming back in and they held because of the scene, they held people from walking in. ESPN, Fox, none of them have it. And then, boom, they say, oh, look in the logs here. Well, they were shooting Curb here that day. And then, damn, lo and behold, if your cameras don't have him, and you saved his life.
But also, he got stopped at the top. The PA stopped him and said, no, you can't go down
there. That's right.
And he said, my daughter's down there. I got to go down there. Mm-hmm. And that PA said, okay, go ahead. That's what really made the difference.
If he doesn't let him go, then cameras
wouldn't have seen him.
Ooh, that's that Super Dave scene. He's going down and interrupting.
He's walking down.
It's such a crazy, it always comes back to comedy, Kim Whitley. It always comes back to the clowns.
It always comes back to the
clowns. So let's talk about you. Where are you originally from?
Wait, first of all, what sign are you?
I'm a Pisces.
Of course you are.
Why? What's that mean?
Because I want to sleep with you. It's a weird.
My God. Not, I ain't never turned red on this podcast in my life.
I should have known. Let me talk to Elizabeth, my publicist. I got to cancel this. I didn't know you were a Pisces.
Oh, man. It's warm in here all of a sudden. Holy shit, am I as red as some of the highlights in your hair right now?
Oh my God. I never heard a laugh like that. Woo. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, either love it or hate it. I get that all the time. Pretty funny. Either love it or hate it.
Oh, Pisces. Well, this is going to be quick.
I am a Pisces. Where are you from originally?
I am from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, you're from Cleveland. Yeah. Okay. A lot of good comedy comes out of Cleveland.
Sure
does.
You
got Drew Carey out of Cleveland. You got some really good
Arsenio
Cleveland.
Hall, Drew Arsenio. Carey. There's a lot of people out of Cleveland
And your mom, dad, are they together? Siblings, tell me about when you're born in Cleveland.
Born in Cleveland, then moved to Sudan, Khartoum. Lived in Africa.
Really?
In Europe.
What age do you do that? With the family?
The whole family. My father was building schools.
Okay.
Over there, he's an architect at a firm. My brothers are architects now. And a great life. And we moved from Cleveland. We moved to Shaker. Another great life.
How long are you in Africa?
We're in Africa probably about 6 years.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a long time.
And are you being, what ages are you there? Is it elementary school?
Yeah, elementary school.
And what kind of school do you go to there?
English. English. I had a British accent.
Okay.
It says, mommy.
You did.
I did. My mother was like this.
Because the, is it South Africa? Is it that?
No, right there, Sudan Khartoum over on the west side, east side of Africa.
And the British are teaching you? So you develop a British accent?
British accent.
How long did you get rid of that?
My mother said, I came back to Cleveland, and she says, within 3 days.
3 days? 6 years and Cleveland stopped that shit out in 3 days.
She said her hands I'm in Africa. I was, mommy, Scotty is such a nutty boy. She said 3 days in Cleveland. She was like, hey ma, Scott over here tripping. She was like, who is that talking?
Yeah, that's gone, huh?
She couldn't believe it. She said, I really wish you would have held that, but Cleveland will take it out of you. Cleveland will take a lot of stuff out of you.
How many siblings do you have?
I have two brothers.
Two brothers.
And then my father's a twin, so his son is like a brother. So I say three boys.
Okay.
So I was definitely a tomboy, still a tomboy.
You are?
Yeah.
And then you go where from there?
From there, do I ever turn into a girl?
Yeah.
Working on it. I'm sitting there with my legs open now. I'm telling you, it's been a long... Okay, let me focus. Okay.
And what does mom do?
She's
a mom.
My mother just shakes her head.
Does she have a career? Or is she just keeping the family?
Oh, my mom. Yeah, what does she do? My mom is a housewife.
Okay.
But she was a school teacher.
What's up, Dexter?
Are you serious?
She was a school teacher.
My mother was a school teacher until I was born.
Okay.
And once I was born, she said, I was too fat. She said when she was picking me up, no, as a baby. Because then me and my brother are 11 months apart.
Okay.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Her and my father was getting it in.
I mean,
I can't even. So I was like, what? But she couldn't pick me up out of the playpen, because I was a big old baby. And, you know, she had to quit school. And I was stealing all my brother's food. My brother's skinny today. She said, because she put the double, the double little kid. She never understood why this baby was always crying. She said, I would pull the bottle out of his mouth, drink it all, and then give it back to him. Wherever he was, I'd drink everything. Then they said at night, they'd put 6 bottles in my crib. They would hear, they said I would shake them and then throw them against the wall.
What do you mean?
They said I would be getting
when you
the
were done?
Nah. They said they would just hear boom, boom, boom. They were like, what? I was like, hey, it's time for another bottle. So that's why I was like, I was always a chubby kid. I was like, it was your fault, Ma. You're not supposed to give me all of that. She's like, I just did the best I could do. So it was fine.
And at what age, so we talked before you came in here, we're both single parents. What age do you become a mom?
Oh, my God. I became a mom like 40s, in my 40s.
Okay, lady,
I'm sorry, my dog is really bothering me. And I became a mom, unconventionally, because I wanted to become a mom, like have a baby, but I couldn't keep a man. So I was engaged a lot, but I didn't.
What do you mean
attention?
A lot? How many times is a lot?
Oh, 7 rings. Easily.
7.
Easily.
Got more than Jordan.
Got more than Jordan.
You got one more than Jordan.
7 rings, baby.
Well, how many marriages?
0.
No, come on. 7 engagements, 0 weddings?
I couldn't commit. Couldn't think. I was afraid. Fear. All the
what
things.
What were you scared of?
Taking my money.
I'm scared of that too.
Because I had too many male friends and friends, and I'm a girl. So I was like, what am I worried about? But then my other girlfriends, I was afraid of a lot of things. I was afraid of not being a good wife. I was just afraid. I was living life as just being an actress, comedian. I really didn't know how to be a wife. I'll be honest, I didn't know how to stop. So workaholic. I didn't understand work-life balance. I was like, I don't even know how to do this. So, you know, that is, you know, one of my regrets, but, you know, God is good. And
what's the regret? That you never got married?
That I never got married, because I could be on my fifth marriage by now.
Easy.
Easy. Get one, held him for 2-3 months, boom, got another one. I could have been, if I was thinking, now I might have been broke, or I might have been rich. Who knows?
You could have been rich. I think it's the other way around.
Somebody told me, they were like, you can't make more money than you can marry. I was like, why did somebody tell me that at 20?
I never heard that before.
Isn't that a great one?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to be giving away for free. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So
wait, let me ask you this then. Without naming names, obviously, or anything, mm-hmm. of the seven, mm-hmm. is there one looking back you'd have been like, I could have married one of those
yes.
guys
and made it work? One, two, three. That's the thing. We don't know about how much it worked. But a couple of them had a lot of money. I didn't know. I was such a tomboy and so all over the place. I needed one of my girlfriends who was a gold digger that had been like, you tripping. But I dated everyone just to date for love and like them. Basketball player, rapper, you know.
You just have
R&B.
Fun.
Right. I just want to be in love. I want to marry for love.
But also as an independent hustler yourself out there grinding yes. and making your own money, it seems and sounds like you didn't really give a fuck about their money.
I didn't care
about yours.
I didn't.
So
and
you
I grew
didn't
up,
marry for money, which right. ultimately is a better decision in the end.
In the end, it would have been a better decision. Why am I out here working right now? Why?
No, I mean, what you did is right.
Oh.
I'm supporting your ass over here. You're not.
Oh, my bad.
I hear you'd have had the money, but the mental that comes
mental
with it sometimes, I don't know, man.
But think this, see, my parents, when you talk about entitlement and how people raise people, I had a good life growing up, you know, traveled the world, lived well. So it's hard to, you know, I was one of those girls. I don't need your money. You know, to pay off your 30 grand, go shopping. I didn't even hear of anything. I was like, what? I said, you're going to give me. And in back of my mind, I was like, that's going to cost me some. Mm-mm. My mother,
you've
I was
had
like,
offers like that for
free.
Real?
Oh, yeah. I'd find money in my purse. They were like, go shopping. What you need? I didn't understand, but I understood. Nothing is free. That's the one thing my mother told me. Mm-hmm. Nothing's free. And if you take that money and you go shopping, you could have been like, because it probably was nothing to them. I just didn't do it because I was like, I don't need it. And at that time, I was in a 2-bedroom apartment. You did need it.
Yeah.
You know, in hindsight, oh, well, it is what it is.
So then what makes you change your mind and say, okay, I want to be a mom now and I'm ready to do that? What happened? Was it the person you met? Was it a time in your life? Was it a combination of like sort of everything that lined up? Or were you just like, hey, I'm pregnant and I'm going to do this?
I love this. Is that my camera?
Yeah,
I want to make
yours,
sure
right
that's
there,
my
that's
camera.
That's you right there.
I have to talk to the people. Ain't nobody really in this life talking about, ooh, it's my time, I'm going to be a mother. A lot of us get oopsed. Ooh, what happened? That's one. And so I could just tell Ryan right now, I didn't have no baby. And nobody said, ooh, my son was 4 days old. A girl who I was close to had him, left him at the hospital, and put my name and number on his toe.
No.
Can't make this up, Ryan. It's my life.
What? Kim, somebody had a whole ass person and just put your name on it and said, I'm out. Get the fuck out. That happens in life.
And they bring me the baby like it's a puppy.
You got to call it out. They brought. What do you mean?
Yes.
You can. I didn't even know you could even do that.
I didn't either.
Don't you have to show an idea? Like I'm the person that this baby's coming out of. Here's my name.
I thought you had to do something. No.
And you can just be like, you know what? Give this to Kim.
Who is Kim? They called me. I was like, y'all not gonna go through no checks and balances.
Wait, real quick. What is your day? What are you doing? Do you remember what you're doing when that call hits?
Oh,
yeah. This is just a regular old day for you.
It's a regular old day. I'm over at my house like in Valley Village, little nice, small, like quaint, Valley Village, yeah. Little quaint little house. My mom and dad are in town. And I don't know, probably talking about, hey, y'all, let's go get something to eat. Ring. Hey, what's happening? Wait, who's this? From the hospital. No, I don't want no baby. They left me a baby. You crazy. I don't know what comic this is, but you that's Thank funny you. As hell. Ha ha. Yep. I ain't got time to play with y'all on the phone. Hung up.
Because who gets a call saying someone left you a person? Who gets that call?
Who does? I did. What? They call back. They said, this is, you know, one of them mean social workers. Yeah. This is not a game. I said, wait, what are you talking about? She was like, such and such left the hospital, left the baby, left your name. Now, either you can come get this baby. I'm telling you, that's how mean she was. Or we're going to put him in the system. I didn't even know what that was. I said, the system? I said, like the Matrix? I'm still cracking up, right? The lady said, you got 20 minutes. I said, what are you talking about? I go back in the house. I think I was outside. I go to find my mom and dad. I said, I got to talk to you. I literally, there's, you know, those goosebumps all over your body. I said, I don't know what's happening here. I said, somebody just called and said, I got a baby. And my mother and father are like, what are you talking about? I said, she had a baby. She left the hospital. I don't know where she is. But she left my name.
And you hadn't seen this woman? You say your friends were, but you didn't.
Yeah, but I had seen her. I knew she was pregnant.
Okay, that's what I want to ask. You knew she was pregnant, but you're not seeing her throughout the whole pregnancy, right, like a regular. Oh. Yeah.
I said, wait, hold up. My mother, so I'm telling you, I love my mother. God rest her soul. My mother, I'm telling you, I'm from a funny family. They are hilarious. My mother said, well, she said, looking around the house, she said, you ain't got no man. She said, you ain't got no kids. She said, you got one dog. She said, I don't see no men coming through here. I was like, she said, and you old. She said, go get that baby. I said, what? I was actually appalled because
I mean, she just took 7 punches to your face and then said, go get that damn.
Oh no, she didn't give a damn.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you, but see, that's what I'm talking about, the time thing. Even about marriage, I needed that person to say, hey, you're getting older. Because I have never had any concept of time since I've been bored. So I'm just in life floating around. I've never said my age. I don't care about my age. I never thought about it. But I wish then somebody said, you know, you should have a baby during this age. You should, you know, get a house. You should do these things. I'm just living life, having a good time. My mother put some reality on my behind. She said, okay, what you doing? You going to the club tonight? What you doing next week? Maybe go on a trip with your friends? What are you doing with your life? Trying to make this acting thing work? I was like, oh, what? She said, you go get that baby and do something with your life. I was like, when I tell you, the lady called back, I was like, my mama said.
We'll be right there. And that day you become a mom just like that?
That day. The lady,
I've never heard a story of a woman becoming a mother like that. Have you?
No, you absolutely
have. In the world of now that you're in, because once we get introduced to things like this, you tend to hear some stories like, oh, yeah. In your whole life, and have you ever heard of another woman just leaving a baby to another lady? Like, I know they drop them off at the hospital or the fire. I've never heard someone say, and give this to X.
I guess you're right. Did you think about it like that?
It's crazy. That's how you became a mom.
That's how I became.
Just hanging out, mom and dad getting ready to go get something to eat, and all of a sudden, boom, you're a mom.
Do you understand the pressure in my, but how God has it? If my mom and daddy wasn't there, first of all, I wouldn't have had the baby. I'd have been like, forget that.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
I would have been like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'd have been like this, whatever. Yeah. You put the baby in the system, whatever that is. My mom and dad were there, and I wouldn't have known what to do. I've babysat before, but
So wait, you all go get the baby right there? Your mom goes with
the lady said, she said, we're going to bring the baby to you. I said, what? She said, you got 2 hours. She said, because you need a car seat and you need a bassinet for the baby to sleep in. I said, huh? She said, you got 2 hours. Go get them. And the social workers are bringing the baby. They got to check the baby out the hospital. I said, come on. Baby's 4 days old. I was like, a real baby? She said, just go get the things. This is the funny thing. You know them old bassinets from 1960?
Yeah, I know.
Those white ones?
Yeah.
My daddy is walking around the store looking for that. He was like, they don't have a bassinet. I can't find a bassinet. I was like, daddy, they knew. They got, it's a play yard now. It's a whole thing. They got cribs. He was like, what are those nice little bassinets? I said, dad, that's from the 60s.
Yep.
It was hilarious.
We got pack and play now.
Right.
Dad.
We got pack and play. Right. So then we got the, then we get the car seat.
Mm-hmm.
We bought these things. We put them on and we.
You're running out with a time limit to beat this child who's now coming into your day today for the rest of your fucking life.
Do you understand?
This is crazy.
No, insane. And they say they didn't say get nothing else. They just told us to get those 2 things.
Those are your starter kit. Right. Yeah, no crib, no nothing.
No, I was like, that's your starter. I guess that's what you got to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then my girlfriend, Mari, I called her, thank God, because she got her camera and she was documenting it. She was like, what? And they literally come with a clear, you know, those clear trash bags, the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
They come with a clear trash bag in one hand. The baby in the car seat, like cradle thing over their arm in the other hand. I said, that's it. And they gave me this big clear bag. It has diapers, little milk, them little milk thing and stuff for the umbilical cord where it came out and a piece of paper with instructions.
Oh yeah. Cause you're not breastfeeding. Duh. Yeah.
But Sherry Shepherd told me to breastfeed. That's a whole nother story. Dumbass. And I tried it. So that's a whole nother thing. Just don't listen to your friends. That's stupid as hell.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. I'm so fired up for Sunday night. All right. It's Ravens Bills. I'll be home. I'll be right in front of my TV. I can't wait to get this season started. If it doesn't end in a Lombardi, I'm going to be devastated, y'all. Prize Picks is simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. And if you get your picks right, you can cash in. All right, I'm going with Dak Prescott throwing more than half a yard. I got Jalen Hurts going with less than 34.5 rushing yards. And I got Patrick Mahomes going for less than 250.5 passing yards. Prize Picks put their users first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. Prize Picks is the best place to win cash while watching sports. Join millions of users and sign up today. Download the app today and use code HONEYDEW to get $50 in your lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code HONEYDEW to get $50 in your lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Now, let's get back to the deal.
They was giving me all kind of bad advice.
So your whole family's there then when you get this gift.
Yeah. And that was
okay.
It.
I want to pause here for a second because do we contact the mom? Do you not hit this lady and be like, bitch?
Contact her. What?
The lady that gifted you this child.
What phone number?
You don't know how to get a hold of her or anything?
No, she eventually calls.
How long is eventually?
There's a court situation.
All right. I'll show
once
up.
You do
let's
that.
Let's tell your story then.
No, no. I can't once you get do over that, you have to. The court has to release the parents' rights, and you have to bring visit. It's a whole.
Oh, so she. Oh,
you can't
still,
just get a baby.
So she still has rights.
Yes, all parents have rights. Foster, beat the kids, do all kind of stuff. When you see all these kids in foster care, they all are attached to a parent if they
somewhere
found
out there
somewhere. And until you can adopt that child, the court system has to release their parental rights in order for you to. It's a lot of red tape, which is ridiculous. That was one of the things I really wanted to fight against and try to get, you know, let's get this foster care, because a lot of our homeless problem is because of foster care, because the children get released onto the street at 18.
I see. Because they never got a hold of a parent, or even that parent never claimed.
Where they go? Right. Think about us. Our kids, are with us to 25, 30. You leave it. And so I know Mayor Bass talked about pushing the age up. We talked about let the kids stay in foster care until they're 25. Give them insurance to, because this will cut down on this homeless problem. I digress.
Okay, so we have a brand new baby now. Does the baby come with a name?
No. Well, no.
Like, did they?
No, I had to. They told me to come. I got to sign the birth certificate. So I prayed on it, and I heard Joshua, and I'd be scared to go. I had opened the Bible, and I was like, how do you usually have 9 months to think about a child's name?
Right? Mm-hmm. Or longer if you're even considering doing this.
And,
yeah.
And the mean lady was like, you got to get a baby a name. I said,
you got 2 hours.
I said, drink.
You need a name, some diapers, and a goddamn car seat.
Period. I was like, are you serious?
It will be there.
Hot mess.
It's crazy that I hadn't. This is the first time in my life I've ever heard of someone, obviously the adoption. I mean, this is crazy. My mom's sister died shortly after childbirth, and that baby did live. Mm. And my grandmom didn't raise that baby, which I always thought was a little odd, but her niece and her husband were trying to have a child, and they knew they couldn't. And they asked, could we adopt that baby? So she said, yes. So I've, you know, things like that. I've never heard of anybody just going, this shit's yours. And you don't even know. That lady didn't have a conversation with you, say, look, I'm thinking about this. And
you might want to go get a car seat and ambassador.
I mean, 2 days isn't enough time. You had 2 hours to prep for a human coming into your life.
And he's still around.
But now you got to learn about formula. You know, are you going to any, we even went to the Santa Monica, what's that place called? They don't have it anymore, but it was a whole class for breastfeeding and pumping and everything, so you could learn how to. And they were very realistic. All the ladies got in there. Everybody wants to be no smoking, no drinking, right. No sushi, no nothing. And they said, they said to me, would you like a beer? And so I thought they were joking. So I said, yeah, I'd love a beer. And they were like, okay, it's in the back, and grab a Heineken. I was like, wait, you're for real? And they wanted me to have the beer. I felt like an asshole because I'm like one of the couple guys in this whole meeting.
So no different.
And I'm just sipping. But the lady said, listen, you're not the first person to have a baby ever. Do women in Japan eat sushi? Yes. Do women in Europe drink a glass of wine every now and then? Yes. Like, you're going to be fine. Your baby is going to be fine. You're not the first human to ever go through this. It's gazillions of us. Gazillions. You'll be good. Yep. And I think they really help these ladies, like, just take a little bit of anxiety and pressure off of having to be this perfect, you know, ecosystem vessel for this child, or else you're going to make it, you know, slow or blind or deaf or whatever. You're going to fuck this kid up. Mm-hmm. But now you got a baby coming to you. You don't know any of the genetics. You don't know any hell. You don't know if this kid's prone to asthma, cancer, anything. What the fuck is going through your head? How do you create even a formula and a routine when you've had no time to even think about this shit?
You just do. I think it's, what is that, flight or fight? Mm-hmm. Fight or flight?
Fight or flight.
That was it. It was, you just do. You get a lot of friends. I was just talking about how Vivica Fox said, meet me in the parking lot on Melrose. What? She had gone to Macy's, cleared them out. Her whole car was filled with baby stuff.
That's sweet.
I never forget, she said, open up your car. I got to go, girl. You know, I was like, what? And just put a Vanessa Bell Calloway. I can go through the actresses that really just gave me so much stuff. Oh, my God. My guy from Family Guy, the director and producer, I want to say Henry. He gave me, I never, it was $1,000 on like diapers.com or baby, whatever it was. It was like Amazon was coming out.
And you know, you ripped through diapers.
I couldn't, I was like, what? And I thought that was very generous with so many people. And then people told me this, Sherry told me, Sherry Shepherd said, when you have a baby or adopt a baby, she said, Kim, watch. She said, the blessings that are going to happen in your life. I was like, whatever. I don't believe you. Never stopped working when that baby came. I had enough money. I was able to care for the baby. Everything, everything worked out. And I said, wow, Sherry, you were right. Shows were coming. Offers were coming. I was going to be okay. And Oprah Winfrey gave me a whole show called Raising Whitley about my kid. And help people, you know, take the stigma off of adoption. And so it was
this
a blessing.
Is different than adoption too. This is a different kind of adoption. I mean, it's adoption.
Well, that's why.
But
she
it's like
did
a signed adoption.
She was like, "What? I had to get all my friends to help me." They still help.
Adopting's not even easy. Actually, I mean, not to downplay this, and I don't mean to sound like an ignorant asshole or anything, but you actually got a child easier, I feel like, than people who've gone.
I wouldn't have made it.
To really try to go through all that adoption process and everything, huh? Wow.
Absolutely. My girlfriend Tracy just got one.
Through the process and everything?
But she was about to give up.
How long?
It probably been 4 years,
yeah,
if not
years.
More. Years. And so I even did a video for them, and she just sent me a picture of a little baby. I was like, oh, my God. Because this is the thing. You can still get a child, and then the parents are like, nah, I'm not going to give up my rights.
I forgot about that part. I forgot.
People get these kids go
so
back.
So they all of a sudden come back, and they say, nah, never mind. Even if you've been with them for years, and they can fuck their whole life up again if they choose.
Oh,
man. So they're really not free until they're 18. Then.
Yes.
They're really not.
Unless their parental rights are...
given up.
Given up, yes.
And does that happen often, or do these people hold on to
the
these kids because it's some kind of...
No, the courts will take them sometimes. They feel like, the courts will release them in a minute. And
what women... / moms now do you surround yourself with?
All the bad ones.
That's a great
answer. Oh, gosh. My friend, my
Your
same
circle
friend.
Changes, though, does it not?
Oh, yeah, still. Mm-hmm. But what I realized, there's a lot of moms out there. But what was great is my friends who are not mothers stepped in to be godmoms and aunts. That was the difference in how it changed their life.
Mm-hmm.
They are responsible for my son Joshua as much as I am. I got one who has been doing all his birthdays and Halloween since he was born. He doesn't even talk to me about his birthday or Halloween. He goes straight to Aunt Nikki. She lives in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
They have a whole thing. What do you want to be this year? She'll send it to him. Get a basketball player, what kind of shoes? When it's birthday, okay, what kind of birthday do you want? A party? Do you want to go to dinner? Handles that. I have a girlfriend who, Cynthia Boutte, is all about education. She will make sure what kind of school is he going to, you know. So every friend, Amy Weiner is his godmom, and Roy Burton, these two, and Mari, they're responsible. And when I tell you they take it on full, these are the people who don't have children. And it made a difference in their life because I didn't say, can you babysit them? I said, can you be in his life for the rest of his life? It's a different kind of ask.
That's a big ask.
And I said, I need you to, you know, and he has a father, Rodney Van Johnson, when he was maybe 2 weeks old. And, you know, he asked me, he said, I never had a father. He said, I would love for him to have a father. Can I be his father? Soap opera actor. But he was just over the other day fixing it and making him read. But he's been his dad. That's his. He calls him his dad.
Okay.
He calls him when he gets in trouble or dad.
Does he have any other kids?
He has two boys.
Joshua, you said your son's name is? Did Joshua's presence in these friends' lives also then any of them go on to have kids?
No.
No.
No. They have Joshua.
What you just said about his Joshua's dad. Now it makes me think, obviously, this lady didn't have a baby on her own. Mm-hmm. There's a father out there for this child.
Yes.
Do you know anything about this man?
No, good luck. If anyone thinks there's Joshua's dad, please contact me. It would be nice to know who you
are. How old's Joshua now?
14.
You don't, I mean, we don't want his dad popping up now, do we? Because don't he still have these rights? He doesn't even ask.
No.
No,
They took both parents' rights away.
So there's no, what about the mom? She's still alive? Are these people alive?
Yes, they
are.
But they.
What happens if when Joshua decides
to go look for them?
Yeah. Because listen, he didn't grow up in a world like we did where there's no internet and you run into the fucking person at the grocery or whatever, because those losers stay local. Yeah, that was the thing that always blew me away. You're going to give us up and you're going to live a mile away, bitch.
A mile away.
I'm going to see you in the neighborhood. Like, what are you doing? You should be going states over. Yeah, we see you at the grocery store. Why am I running into my mom at Kmart? You know what I mean? Like, get the fuck out of the state if you're going to leave your kids.
Yeah.
This boy ends up hitting a jackpot in a sense, because what he does have more than anything are people who unconditionally love him and want him to succeed and be loved in life. In this life. Isn't about who you are and what you do or your friends do or none of that. I get that. But this boy goes from literally being just see ya to boom, love.
Has no idea.
What a gift. What a gift.
We try to tell him that too.
It's a long game. Once he has kids, it should have been, how'd you do all this?
That's what he's going to.
We have to live long enough for that reward, though. That's the thing.
And I didn't get to, my mother died when Joshua was born. She got to see him for a few months, but I got to thank her.
Oh, she passed quickly after?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, but I did tell her, I was
man, you got a newborn, basically, and you're burying your mom. And you said, I'm sorry, your mom and dad passed in the same year, quickly?
No, my dad's still around.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Working my last nerves. I talked to him yesterday. His memory's slipping, but he sure know my name.
Is he a good grandfather?
Joshua. Oh, but Joshua, he said the other day, when we going to Cleveland, he said, I want to see Papa before he dies. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, Ma, he's old. He might not have. I said, if you don't shut up. I want to spend some time with him. I said, okay, so he's supposed to be coming out here. They have a great relationship, which is always like, oh, I should have had kids earlier.
That's what I want to ask. Do you think that now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You do, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Like hindsight, you would go back. How many would you have? More than one? Two?
Yes.
Two?
Since it was three of us, because I was even going to adopt a little girl because I feel like you should have a sibling. Because what I don't want is to be on my deathbed and I'm laying there and Joshua comes in with his new wife who I'm looking at is going to take all my money.
Yep. She sure is.
Or is going to say, we're going to put your mom in that home. I needed another sibling. So they can say, let's do this with mom.
Mom's going to live above my garage.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you by yourself,
yeah,
this little boy, you know, that was the thing people don't understand. You, and some people are like, well, some of your kids don't even turn out right. But I know as a child and a sibling, when my mother was leaving here, I was glad I had my brothers, my younger brother, my older brother, because we had a whole conversation, her sisters. But having a sibling to say, hey, my brother's like, mama don't want to get burnt up. I said, she want to get burnt up. She says she want to get burnt up.
Burnt up. I had to think about it for a second. Now I was like, wait, what? Then I got it. I got cremated. I was like, they're going to set this lady up.
I'm sorry. It was a whole argument.
Oh, shit, it's so funny.
My mama was like, yeah, you're going to burn me up. Like, I had a good life. My mother, you understand, my mother was very funny. She called me when the burial plots was on sale. She was like, girl, these burial plots is on sale. You better get you one.
Get you one.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, so obviously, you sound like a very forthcoming and honest family of people surrounding this child. At what point do you decide to tell him, hey, this is the deal, just so you know? And what ages do you feel like that's appropriate to say to him? Like, you know, because it's important to, I guess,
Yeah, our dogs are out there fighting.
They're out there.
This is a very important question. I'm glad you asked. Where people make the mistake, and I've talked to a couple people about this, never hide adoption from a child. Because once they get older and then you say, we're not your real parents in that sense, their whole life becomes a lie.
Yeah, and the betrayal
it
and all.
Flashes like, what else did you like? For whatever reason it is, I've heard too many stories. So my belief and what I did was because you have to understand, this is a human you're molding. I use the word adoption from day one because what has happened, and this is a scientific fact with my son, if you use a word, it never becomes foreign to them when they get older. I've heard, we live in America. This is where we live. Your whole life. You can't turn around and say, this ain't really America. You know, this is India mm-hmm. or whatever the case is. So if you hear that your whole life, so adoption, as he's 2, 3, I was like, oh, my son's adopted in front of him. He never asked. Like, and I said, do you understand what adoption is? He might have been 8. And then I explained, or 3, maybe 3 or 4, I would say, there was a tummy mommy, and then I'm your mommy, and you were born in my heart. But you do that at 3, 4, 5. If they bring it up, 8, they'll start asking questions. But you never lie. My son has never been like, what's adoption? Not one time. His friend was 9 years old. I told his mother. Now, I have girlfriends who have adopted kids. You're right. Since I adopted, I do have a couple. And I said, you better use the word adoption. Your whole, I said, so she tells him and then she's going to bring him over my house. Now he done broke apart. And I was like, what is wrong? Why are you bringing him over here? But what was good is she brought him because Joshua's his best friend. I said, Joshua's adopted also. I said, I'm sorry your mommy held it so long, but she didn't know any better. But adoption's a great thing. I explained it to him. But what was more important is my son, who's 2 years older than him, jumped in and was like, man, I'm adopted. I got chosen. That's better. We were chosen.
Yeah, chosen's yes. a much better word.
And that, so he talked to his friend.
Even if you're talking, not even talking about a person, you're just talking about adopting new habits and shit, but chosen is such a better word.
That's
way
what
more,
he said.
Way more intentional.
Way more intentional. And that's
like
what
that.
Made his friend go, oh, he was like, man, we special. Our mothers chose us. And I was like, wow, he took it over. So that's why using the word is so important mm-hmm. because it becomes part of their, they don't love you less. They don't anything. My son has never asked any questions yet. Yeah, he hasn't asked anything.
Well, now you got shit out there like these 23andMe. So 10 years from now, mm-hmm. your son could have a sibling that pops up
yes.
from the dad or the mom
oh,
or both. Who knows?
Absolutely.
And then would you be welcoming and loving of that sibling to come and be a sibling with your child?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What a world that's laying out in front yeah. of you. We don't know anything.
We don't know, but older.
He's older, yes.
I mean, nobody. While he's young.
Mm-hmm.
One thing there is, what I find out with foster children or adopted children is called imposter syndrome or the regret. I forgot what it's called, but what happens is, if they have siblings and they see their siblings aren't living as well as you are, there becomes a guilt.
Oh.
So now they try to sabotage themselves, not wearing the clothes, drugs. They do a lot. Seen it. So because now they're like, well, what are they eating? Well, can we go take my mother? Or my sister and brother, can we go give them some clothes? Can we go feed them? Can we? It's constant. And one of the attorneys, when I adopted Joshua, when I was, you know, because you have to do you down at the courthouse. She said, I've been doing this for 30 years, little attorney. And she said, don't let him meet his mother until he's older.
Is that right?
Yeah. I said, why? She said, we've been doing this. Another attorney was standing there. He said, we've been doing this family court a long time. She said, they will always worry about their mother. They will always worry, is she on the street? Is she warm enough? Especially if it's, you know, one of those kind of adoptions. She said, do not. I'll never forget that woman. She looked me dead in my eye. I said, makes sense, because you think about it. And then I know friends who've done it, struggle. So you just wait until they're older. Mm-hmm. Now, they're older and they want to go find their mama and all that. Go right ahead. Go help, do what you want to do. So those are my words of wisdom.
So you've been with him literally since he's 4 days old, and he's 14 now.
Yes.
What about dating men, bringing men into his life? Is that, did that change for you? Like, you start getting a little more picky, or are you getting a little more, do you start looking at men like he could be a good father figure?
I don't like your questions.
You know what the fuck I'm getting at.
What's wrong with you?
All right, I'll ask
dating's
you
this. Hard.
How old was Joshua when you introduced him to the first man you were dating? Like, what age?
I got in a whole conversation with Nia Long about this, and I got what she's saying now, but.
You just say, I get what she's saying now.
Yeah, I do now. I was like, it was like most black women, we always like, this your uncle.
Yeah,
everybody was an uncle.
Yeah.
But because you don't know if it's going to work. I'm not going to introduce him as my man. I don't know if it's going to work. Now, I'm going to tell you, my son ain't worth a damn. This was this week. So I have a friend. My ex came in town, but Joshua's been knowing him. But he came in town. He says to his face, are you a police officer too?
He said two.
I just looked at him. I said, you little asshole. I said, no, he's not. He's not a police officer. You know, because my other ex was a police officer. He was just over the house. But he said, you know, people like to help me, you know, fix things. But I got exes. I'm a great girl. But they, you know, they're just friends in my life. But Joshua will see them. So it's very, I don't have, that's maybe two. I have so many people in my life. And there's guys and there's girls. And it's just part of the village. So he's not, he has not gone to, there has not been anyone serious yet.
That's what I'm getting at.
There was one or two. Like one, we traveled to Africa together. We did. We all, the whole, all of us went. But we went to high school together.
Okay.
So that was a different kind of thing. So he knew that, because I also didn't want my son to grow up and not see a relationship or see love. So it's a, it was a thin line. I wanted him to see that. Yeah, your mommy is a girl sometimes. You know, I could be
well,
feminine.
Also, it's very important what this lady or these social workers said to you about don't introduce him to his mom, because he's always going to worry, worry, worry. But I also believe, like, it's important for you to bring a, if a man is what you're wanting in the house, and then your son sees, oh, this man loves my mom. This man's nice to my mom.
Yes.
This is how you treat a lady. And my mom is responding well to it. So she must really like this guy. She trusts him around me. And, you know, he's 14 now.
Yes.
Like, he knows what the fuck's up.
Yeah, absolutely.
He knows what's up. He knows what's up.
Even though I got him out the house for a couple of days.
But he knows what's up.
But he knows. So he does see.
But it's important, though, that his mom is also taken care of.
Yes.
You're his mom.
Okay, I'm going to make sure.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, I get that if you meet this lady. Is she eating tonight? I hope she's not there. But it's also important that this lady, the one that I live under her fucking roof here for the last 14 years, is also loved and taken care of.
Okay, I'm going to make sure then
I know. And that's not something he needs to do.
That's right.
You know?
I'm going to make sure I get another man over to the house. Make sure my son sees. Then he does like this, like if I hug a man.
That's the other thing I was going to say. Has there been a guy where he's like, I don't like him?
Oh, I had an ex he couldn't stand because he was strict. None of my exes ever like put their hands on my son or anything that I would never allow that.
He's
would
also
discipline
getting too
him.
Old now to put
now.
Hands on, because he'll fight back. Yeah.
But
what kind of discipline? What are you okay with letting someone what are your limits for disciplining your child?
You can yell at him. Mm-hmm. You can put him on punishment. You can give him, like, the one ex had him picking up all the leaves in the yard.
Yeah, I like that. Chores.
One at a time.
One at a time, he's doing. He couldn't rake them. He had to go hand pick them up. I'm taking that shit. That motherfucker's going to be out there for 4 hours.
Okay. Well, he was hot.
Oh, man. I can watch a whole football game.
You can't. I bet you won't do that again. He was one by one
is some shit right there.
Oh, yeah. He got him. But that's... So, see? I let him do that. But he remembers him. He talks about him all the time.
I'll bet he remembered that shit.
He like, Mr. Carlton, I don't like him.
Mr. Carlton. Making a fucking thing leaves. That is too much. So, oh, yeah. Man, this has been a great episode. Wait, before we wrap up, I got a couple things. Let's talk about Honeydew. There's something you wanted us to mention about Honeydew, and we were talking before we recorded.
I love the name of the podcast, The Honeydew, with, of course, Ryan Sickler. I love Honeydew. Do you understand?
You said this to me. I'm like, you're the person.
I'm like, who doesn't love Honeydew? That is the sweetest fruit. You get the right one.
That's it.
Okay.
You got to get the right one.
But it's like
this
cantaloupe.
This is what doctors always say. People say, oh, you know, if you're wrapping in bacon, I'm like, you wrap anything in fucking bacon, it's going to taste good. What are you talking about? Prosciutto, melon, and things like that. Like, okay, whatever. But I had a doctor tell me one time, he's like, there's like 1 month out of the year that honeydew is like this shit. I'm like, okay.
That's hilarious.
You like it though, huh?
I love honeydew.
Even over cantaloupe and all that?
Yeah, cantaloupe. I eat the honeydew before I eat the cantaloupe.
You're the person at the work party that eats the honeydew. I'm telling you, look, I have all these people mailing them to me like, I'm at work function today, Sickler. This is what's left. And it's all honeydew that's left in like two pieces of cantaloupe.
People cut up the honeydew that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
The hard honeydew.
Yeah, the hard.
It's not good.
Yeah, white. Like,
but you ever ride down the street and see one of those little umbrella people selling the vendors? You get some good honeydew from them.
I'm gonna try it.
Get some honeydew, some cantaloupe, some pineapple, some watermelon, and they put it in that thing, and they squeeze the lime juice over it. Then they take some tahini and put it on there. Baby, let me tell you something. That's a meal. Delicious. $10. Might be $5.
Thank you so much for doing
Thank
this.
Thank you. This was fun.
Before I wrap up here, I would love to hear advice you would give to 16-year-old Kim Whitley.
16-year-old Kim Whitley, keep your legs closed.
Here's the thing, though. It doesn't result in a pregnancy of a child. Isn't that wild?
The thing I would say, also, to 16-year-old Kim, I would say, have no fear. Do not let fear stop you from anything. Try it all except for cocaine.
That's great advice, actually, especially today. Especially in today's cocaine market.
Oh, God. Especially in today's cocaine. It's trash.
I saw this video of them talking about, there was two guys talking about how crack was so much better than the cocaine. The cocaine's killing you now. Like, it's not like it was. It's a poison now. But a crackhead, he'll climb a pole. He'll start your motor. You know what I mean? These guys are just doing coke and dying. But crackheads live forever. They're like cockroaches. Oh, they're always out there with a cigarette hanging out of their mouth. Do whatever you need. They're just still there.
It's hilarious.
It's true. So if you're going to do something, do crack instead of coke.
Leave the cocaine alone.
Kim Whitley, thank you so much. One more time right here. Promote everything you'd like.
Hey, y'all. It's Kim Whitley. Please follow me on my social media. Kim, K-Y-M Whitley, across the board of all social media. Also, my podcast with Sherry Shepherd, Two Funny Mamas. Please subscribe. Check that out. My movie is out right now, Happy Gilmore 2, which is broken all kind of box office records. Happy Gilmore 2 with Adam Sandler on Netflix. Killing Mary Sue, my other movie on Prime. Then I would say also go to walkinthelightmovie.com. Trying to get it to the Oscars. We're crowdfunding. But, you know, also once you see it out, please go and check it out.
Thank you so much.
Story.
I loved it. This is a great episode.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.